Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. President Beta. Murder Master Music Show. It's that kid, Hanilla. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This right here is where the real rap at.
From the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy, Aldo.
What up, y'all?
This is Keyshawn.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy, C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Check out the motherfucking Murder Master Music Show right here at blogtalkradio.com/Murder Master Music Show. We play nothing but the hardest gangster shit from around the globe. Plus, we interview legends and pioneers of this motherfucking rap game. Call the number at 714-409-0548. Ain't nobody else paying homage to legends like we are. Fuck the lame stream, bitch.
Now it's time for me to mutilate them other hoes. Kidnap
two brown ass dudes who juggle moves. Fuck ICP, fuck Faygo. That nasty ass pop tastes like Play-Doh. Put you in the ground, make you rot quick. Stick a curling iron up your ass, now that's hot shit. You gon' die, so don't be nervous. Dr. Kafar, it's at your service. When I bring pain, it's on purpose. Carving you two foul faggots up Turkish. Call the cops and I pray they send the SWATs in. They'll find Hobson in the trunk of my Datsun. Screaming like a bitch with a mouth full of mic shit. Stab him through his faggot ass contacts with an ice pick. The devil says, don't give a fuck, cause I'm a strange psychopath. It's about to be a bloodbath. I'm a strange psychopath.
I'm a psycho.
It's about to be a bloodbath.
Bloodbath.
I'm a strange psychopath.
I'm a psycho.
It's about to be a bloodbath.
Bloodbath.
I'm a strange psychopath.
I'm a psycho.
It's about to be a bloodbath.
Up, it's the motherfucking Burner Master Music Show. You're in this bitch once again, episode 33. Tonight we got a pioneer from Kansas City, Missouri, the one, the only, Vel Bacardi. This is the one who put Kansas City on the map officially. I'm talking about going back to the fucking 80s. For those of you that don't know, you know what I'm saying, this brother's been doing it for many, many years. He went out to Cali way back in the day. He was actually part of Mecola Records. Man, and, you know, Mecola Records, for those of you that don't know what Mecola Records is all about, they put out Ice-T, they put out the 2 Live Crew, they put out fucking Dr. Dre, they put out, you know, a lot of legendary artists back in the day. So this cat, you know what I'm saying, he ain't nothing new to this business. But man, you know, we haven't really heard from him for a while now. You know what I'm saying? But, man, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to play some music that he sent me tonight, man. It's gonna fuck you up. Some real good shit he's working on. I'm going to bring him on right now. This is the one, the only, Vel Bacardi. What's up, Vel?
Hey, how you doing, Perez? What's going down?
Man, first of all, you know, it's been a long time, but I'm glad we finally reconnected. What have you been up to the last few years, brother?
Well, for the last few years, I've been kind of sitting back outside of the music business, you know, dealing with the politics in Missouri, you know, getting shunned out of a few things. You know, it was, they had to be decisive and make a pick between one or the other that I'll talk about after a while. But, you know, I went into the scrapping business and hauling and recycling and started a business with that and kept doing albums, just waiting for the moment and, you know, and my sons, and just trying to get them in the game. So really, these last couple of years, I've just been kind of just sitting in the hiatus, just watching all this bullshit, if I could say, go down over, you know, the music business.
Yeah, definitely. You're seeing a lot of bullshit going on. And really, realistically, there's been a lot of bullshit going on in your neck of the woods, too. Let's talk about Kansas City for a minute. First of all, let's talk about the history of Kansas City rap. Man, as far as I know, I'm talking to the history, man. Can you tell me when you started?
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. When I first started in Kansas City, it was 1989. At that time, I had put out a record on Mecola Records, who also had Dr. Dre and 2 Live Crew, a lot of other guys that come through that channel. And it was a record called Bust a Move. Now, how I got to that was I had my friend Marcus, a lot of people know Biz Markie. I went out to New York in 1989, and I was to be on an album, a compilation, and I didn't finish my lyrics in time. I was young and didn't finish my lyrics in time, so they put a guy named Granddaddy IU in my place. Well, to make a long story short, I came back to Kansas City, Missouri, and Biz and them stayed in touch with me, and they started directing me into certain areas, and that's how I got my first record deal, actually, right there through Diz and them helping me out with McCullough Records.
Okay, okay. At what point in time did you meet Tech N9ne, and was he already rapping at the time?
Donnie, that's what I may call him. Donnie had, back when I started, Donnie was doing a lot of dancing. They were a dance group, you know, kind of like Hammer. They had that kind of like Hammer thing going, you know, the freezes and the parachute pants. You know, they liked that type of style. At that time, I was hardcore in the hood, hardcore on the streets of Kansas City, Missouri, getting my name, for my respect for my name on the streets first before I was even a rapper. And then as I became a rapper, I got more noticed and got more recognized in Kansas City, Missouri, and became like somebody that they was looking at to blow. At that time, Donnie and them were still dancing and everything like that. So,
who, Donnie
Osmond? You know, the scene started. Donnie is Tech N9ne.
Yeah, no, I know. No, I just call him Donnie Osmond.
Donnie Osmond. yeah, you know, so these guys were dancing, breakdancing, playing double dutch, doing whatever, back when I was out putting out records and everything like that.
Playing double dutch.
So, yeah, you know, so I was putting out records at that time. And, you know, Donnie, when I got with a guy named David McPherson, there was a thing that happened in Kansas City, Missouri in 1993 or 92, and they had a convention in Missouri. Well, they played everybody's music. They played Tech N9ne's music. They played everybody's music. But this guy, David McPherson, when they played my music, he jumped off the panel. He said, "This guy's going to make $1 million." And, well, he tried to get me on Mercury Records. And at that time, I was talking drunk lyrics, drunk bitches, this and that, this and that. So he decided to take me somewhere else. He said Mercury didn't want to sign me, so he took me to this guy named Morris Taft, who had a record label called Wild West Records. And that was out of Los Angeles, California. And through Morris, I was able to get with Rick Rubin, who we later got a joint venture with. And from that, once I got with Rick Rubin, I was able to take the Velvet Carti project all across the United States as well as the rest of the world and put Kansas City on the map. Now, keep in mind that while I was doing this, these guys were warming up. You know, now the dream was becoming true to them, and now they really wanted it. They was in the basement. Tech was in the basement probably listening to DLC. He used to tell me a lot that he had my album in his headphones a lot and, you know, listening to DLC and those guys back when I, you know, was originating the Kansas City sound. Well, it didn't happen that way because once I got it established and I started bringing Murder Dog magazine and all type of things like that to Kansas City, I brought BET to Kansas City, you know, I brought all these things to Kansas City. What they wanted to do was, okay, it's here now. Let's get Vail out the way and let's try to take it from there. So that's basically what happened as far as, like my career as far as Kansas City goes. So that's why I had to base it more in California and other places, because that place, everybody knows that Kansas City, you know, yeah, I'm from there, but I'll keep it 100. It's Haterville.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of people will agree on that in certain aspects, you know. And so Jody Watley, they hated her out. Low Key, they hated her out. You know, Soleil, they hated her out. You know, Buck O'Neill, they hated him out. You know, Velvet Carti got tied right up in that list, hated him out. You know, they never tell the kids in Kansas City, Missouri that Walt Disney came from Missouri. They never make the connection. You know, that place just don't, you know. So basically, I was just saying all that to say this is that, you know, the history of Kansas City music started with Velvet Carti because I was the first one to take it inside of the music business, the first one to take it on the road, the first one to do anything with celebrity artists, the first one to sign a major contract. But, you know, let them tell it was somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. I will vouch for that because I remember getting Genuine Liquor Hits back in 95, you know, when it came out. You know, I wasn't up on you back in the McCullough days, but, you know, I definitely heard about you I want to say 5 years before I heard about Tech. I didn't hear about Tech until 2000, until I was sent his CD, which I introduced into the Murder Dog magazine, and ever since then it's been like a, you know, a bond. As a matter of fact, right now, if you look at Murder Dog and Tech, he's been on like the cover, like I don't know how many issues in a row. Which brings me to this question. We were chopping it up earlier. Now, I remember when they were putting together the South Carolina compilation, the Best of the Best compilation, and the Kansas City compilation. Black Dog sent us all tracks, you know, all the writers' tracks. We were to pick through them and pick what we wanted on the compilation. He was going to supposedly let us, you know, have somewhat of a choice. But your song, which was called I'm a Cracker, which, you know, I'm a cracker, so fuck it. It was a great song. I loved it. But your song, it didn't get picked. And you just gave me a revelation tonight, man. Tell the people why it didn't get picked.
Well, at that time, what happened was me and Tech was going back and forth on the streets of Kansas City, Missouri. What happened was he was going around telling people, making it a joke at first, you know, that telling people that I was his, you know, when this young lady named Agony was pregnant, he was going around telling people, yeah, you know, that's Vail's baby, you know, making gestures like that, making, you know, to where I took it personal, you know, like, man, you don't say stuff like that. So then it got to where he started making little hints and little songs. He wasn't saying my name, but people was coming to me like, man, you know, he's saying this and that. So it got time for me to say something to him, and I didn't say his name, and then he realized it was me, so he came back and said my name, and then I came with this Tech Poison, which I had three songs on there, and I was exposing him. And then he felt like he came with the song He Wanted to Be Paid, and then after that I came with this song called Crackers. Well, after I made Crackers, I was making another song called He's Scared. But before I can get that song finished, the CEO of Game Related Records, which is Rodney Green, he paid me $2,000 not to make the song. So they paid me $2,000 to stop dissing Tech. Okay, so I stopped dissing him. It wasn't no problem. I didn't do the song He's Scared, but the song Crackers was already done, and Murder Dog had it in their hands. It was to be released on there. Well, in that same draw, Travis paid Murder Dog $2,000 not to put the song on there.
Wow.
And that's why Crackers wasn't on Murder Dog, that compilation of Kansas City, Missouri. That was the original song to be on there. Next thing I know, I was on there with a song that me and Cuckoo Bird and another guy that did another guy that was from Kansas City that we did a song, Woo Woo, that's his name, Woo Woo Productions, and we did a song called Listen Closely. And that was on there. I was like, how did that happen? You know, and then I got the wind of it that's what went down. So they basically got it from both ends. They went to my CEO and made probably threats or whatever it went, or who knows, they probably gave him the money to give to me. You know, all I know, I was pulled to the side and paid to leave him alone. And then after that, you know, like I said, it seems like he took the town. They started putting the direction towards him. They started saying that Tech N9ne was the king of the city. They started saying all that. They forgot about what I just did. I just opened the floodgates for Kansas City to even be heard. And then all of a sudden, Tech N9ne's the king of the city. I didn't know what happened. Well, I guess it's just that I told the truth on that song, and they knew that by me telling the truth on that song that he was going to be revealed and people weren't going to cling on to him. So they had to shut me up, and that's what happened. And they didn't stop there. They went further. All type of studios in Kansas City, Missouri, all type of places. I noticed how when I walked in them, they start putting their heads down as if that they was already getting hush money. It's like he bailed out.
Yeah. And what's crazy is if you listen to the song of Kansas City King, he's dissing the shit out of you. He's dissing the shit out of Don. Maybe a couple other people. So, you know, Murder Dog essentially allowed him to diss you guys, but you couldn't say anything in rebuttal against him, man. It's a one-sided battle, if you ask me.
Right. That's what I was saying. I had no, it was no 50-50. It was no, okay, we heard Tech's side of the story. Okay, we heard Vail's. It was none of that. It was all Tech's side of the story. You know, so that's why everybody, oh, he dissed Vail. Okay, that's just like, Ali and George Foreman fighting, and then they go pay Ali, yo, man, here's $1 million, man, you know, when Foreman swing, go on and fall. And then he does that, and then Foreman goes around like he's the king and like he's the champion and all that, you know, not knowing, you know, knowing in his heart that it's a whole setup, it was staged. You know, they wanted to be kings of the city. They didn't care about the history of the city. They didn't care about falling in line with the history of the city. They just wanted to be kings of the city. That's why Kansas City can't blow up now, because it's all totally mixed up. It's out of order. It won't ever blow up because it's out of order.
Yeah, back in the day when we was covering you guys, man, there was a whole slew of motherfuckers, like you say, Cuckoo Bird, Court Dog. I mean, so many of you guys, S to the B. And now it's just all the focus is strictly on this guy. And he duped me too, man. I helped that motherfucker all throughout his career with reviews and this and that. And it's like, wow, man, this shit came back and bit me. You know what I'm saying? It really came back and bit me. So I was like, fuck
he showed
them.
Up.
Fuck
he showed
strength,
up. He
dude.
Showed up. Yeah, he showed up at I did a video for Bun B and Greedy. You know, Bun B from UGK and Greedy from Kansas City, Missouri. I shot a video
Greedy.
For him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he showed up at the set and he like, yeah, Vel, I heard you shooting the video. And I'm like, yeah, man, you know, I've been calling you, you know, trying to go ahead and let's open the doors to Kansas City. Let's go and make this history, man. We need to just go and do something. Yeah, yeah, man, call me, man, text me, man, and totally ignore my calls. I called Travis. He'd be, you know, yeah, Vel, I'll give you some tickets, you know, like this, you know, that. You know, so really, you know, maybe I need to re-release that song. You know, if they want to, you know, they made their money. I'm not tripping on that. They should be, they paid, but you know, that don't take aside from the truth. Still needs to be known.
Yeah, yeah, you should,
you know?
You should, man. And same thing happened to us, man. You know, everybody knows about the House of Blues incident. You know, we had Scatterman, and I was telling you earlier. They said, oh yeah, this type of thing happens all the time at the House of Blues, and then. Like you said, calls weren't being answered, emails weren't being answered. So it kind of points the finger to, okay, maybe it wasn't the House of Blues. Maybe it was you motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying,
that
sabotaged some shit. So, yeah, I feel that. I feel that, man. And let's talk about you know what I'm saying, you told me an interesting story about Tech Son's first Christmas, man. What's the deal with that?
Oh, man. Well, that's what I said on the song. Like, it was a verse on the song, and it seems like after they heard that, it was like, okay, we got to stop him now. Because it was a verse on there when I said, how could you try to diss me in rapping? And think about it, Tech, I was the one that made your son's first Christmas happen. Meaning that when I was in California doing my Genuine Liquor Hits album, and Agony, who is the girl that was on the player's song, was up there. And with the child, living in Los Angeles, and, you know, she didn't have nowhere. She didn't have really nothing, no money or nothing like that. So through my budget, I was able to help her, provide her with money and provide things and make sure they had a Christmas too. You know what I'm saying? But you don't hear about stuff like that. You don't hear about it because they took that song. They made sure that song never was released. They made sure that song that had all that in it was never released. See, I'm the only one that's on the planet that can expose him in that type of fashion. And he knows that because he knows he used to sit down with me when I used to tell him about the game. I used to ride around, have people pick him up in cars, and we'll duck down in the back seat so that I can tell him about the game, tell him how to do this. He used to follow me around. Every show, everything I did, he showed up. Everything I did, how I did it. If you notice the way I fast in my music career, how I told you I went to the West Coast and I went to the East Coast, but I went to the West Coast. That's where my career happened, manifest. He tried to follow the same blueprint. He tried to do it. He realized that there came a point where he wasn't going to grab the streets because he never was really actually from the streets, like the core of the streets, you know. He was from, by the time he started claiming the streets, it was okay to do it. You know, it was very friendly out there to do that. So, you know, but.
Some Lil Wayne
shit. Yeah, right. These guys, you know, and the way he did Don Juan, the way he did all of them. I mean, if Don Juan made his sound, made Icy Rock, these guys made a sound that, to me, Don Juan did a lot for him. You know, but Don Juan made the beat to Tell It Like It Is, the first song I dissed Tech and dissed everybody. Matter of fact, I dissed everybody on that song, on that particular song, because I felt things was out of order. That's the way it is now. Tech N9ne is blown. They got what they want so far. Tech N9ne is blown up. Kansas City's not. It's supposed to be where Kansas City's blown up through Tech N9ne, Velvet Cardi, Richard Factor, through these names. But it's been switched around to where it's not Kansas City at all. It's just him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. There's no.
He likes the
floodgates.
You know, no disrespect
are blocked off.
And no disrespect to his artists. No disrespect to his artists or none of that. No disrespect. But it seems to me like he likes to wrap around people that ain't capable of outshining him. You know,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Only time he'll do that is when he wants to do it with somebody that got more attention than him. You know, then that way he can make himself look good. But as far as somebody that don't have attention and they sound good, just as good and better, he won't do that. He won't stand beside nobody like that. He has never had a history of standing beside nobody like that. I mean, people go around and say, yeah, he signed Brother Lynch. Yeah, he signed Brother Lynch. Yeah, but look where Brother Lynch's career was at that moment in time.
Yeah.
And look where
it's at now. Much respect to Lynch, like you said. His first album sold 30-something thousand. The second album, On Strange, sold like half that, you know what I'm saying, less than half, maybe a third of that. So, yeah, it's evident.
Right.
And plus, look at Chris Calico. Chris Calico is one talented dude, but he's always in the shadow of Tech. You know what I'm saying? He could step out on his own and really make something of himself. You know, rather than
They'll never do it because, like he already said, that he's going to create his own world. So he want flunkies around him. He like flunkies, you know, and you know, like people like OG street niggas, like guys that's over there witting, that 57th Street Road Dogs, that was the heart of him right there. Those are the real niggas, the street niggas, you know, Scoob and all them real niggas, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, you know, he had to bring Scoob and them back. You know, he had to bring him back, you know, otherwise they probably was going to put hands on him because, you know, he was trying to get away with just him and just being just him and Travis and not keeping what took him there. You know,
yeah.
But they eventually pulled that off, and okay, I'm not upset. It's just that the truth needs to be known that he's not the king of Kansas City. He never was.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the king of weirdo land, because you look at what he's done. Like, we were watching these videos on YouTube. He has these kids that are like 10, 11 years old doing that stupid fucking pledge. You know what I'm saying? Like a cult. Like he's Jim Jones brainwashing children. I don't like anybody that fucks with the youth. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
I
never knew he was about that shit until all sixes and sevens. But you think about it, man. What's six plus seven? You know what I'm saying? 13.
Right.
What's symbolism with, you know, with symbolic with the number 13? Think about that shit.
Right.
You know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been doing that. I mean, he always, when he was young, man, he was very curious and always, you know, Ouija board kind, you know, just doing stupid stuff, you know, like that. You know, they always had that dark side, wanting to linger to the dark side approach about themselves. It was never for the people. It was always for self-centered reasons. You know, now, if Pure Dope, have you ever heard of Pure Dope?
No,
Pure Dope is the first people that ever put Tech N9ne out. You know,
what year was this roughly?
This was 1992, I believe. It was a cassette tape, because I came out with the Drunks, and around that time, Pure Dope came out with their CD, and they had Donnie on there. But when it was time to give Phil a chance, they put Phil on a song.
Who's
and
Phil?
They have never paid Phil. His name is the Philster.
Okay.
Then they put him on the song, and he never got paid. They put him on a bogus song, you know. And this man has always reached out to Tech, always did this for him, always did that, put him on his music, you know. Donnie's history didn't start with 57th Street Road Dogs. It started with a bunch of, like, half freaks, half gay guys. You know what I'm saying? It was a bunch of them. They had a little group. I'm just being real. They had a little group, man, and they was like some soft guys, you know, not the guys in the parking lot, you know, talking stuff. They was more like the guys dancing over on the other side by the car. You know, they were, you know, that's the type of group he had at first. They were all kind of soft kind of guys and didn't want no harm type guys and just wanted to do a friendly show. Then next thing you know, he's a blood. He's a gangster. I just didn't understand where that came from. You check my history in Holy Temple, where I come from, I've been a Holy Temple Bandit since day one. I gave my neighborhood that name, Holy Temple Bandits. You know, I made a movement in my neighborhood that it had nothing to do with rap. You know, when I said wear black on Fridays, the whole neighborhood wore black on Fridays. You know, he never had power like that in the neighborhood. No neighborhood he came from. He didn't get power until he got money. I had power before money, so I never needed the money to have power.
Yeah.
You know, so what they living on is an imaginary power. You know how a little punk-ass dude, you know how he's been a punk all his life, then he get rich, then he feel like he tough now because he got guns and he can take care of you real quick and he got people he can pay to fight you, so now he got this different expression on his face. Yeah, like
ICP, they admit it themselves. They used to get their asses whooped all the time. So now they put paint on their face. They got a gimmick, and now they think they're the shit. Same thing with the
right.
So boy, it sounds like, man, this is crazy. But I want to play this song right here. What's this called first before I play it, man? I just gained this off YouTube.
Oh, that's Bow Now. That's Bow Now.
That's Bow Down. Okay, we're
that's
gonna
Bow
play
Now. Bow Now.
We're going to play that right now, and then you know, of course, we're going to play a couple more of your songs in a minute. So stick around, Vel. It's real shit.
Okay.
Tech 9, Nick from Messiah. To wipe you out the game, I'ma prove you lame. But say the Lord's name is Bane, I attack you. Step off the podium and smack me. Down with the fallen angel with the barcode and the tattoo. Tech 9, stop wasting your time trying to look white. Look in the mirror, you can see it's starting to affect your life. Cause I remember when you was quick to represent your race. Now you run around here with red hair and white makeup on your face. To the straight, to the ghettos here, and to show me safe. You did us wrong for trying to put the power of the devil in your song. You've been fighting my lyrics since 93, Tech wanna be failed. You can tell he wrote it alive after you heard my story. Me to give different nails, y'all some respect. Cause for the last 3 times they had me
on the map, regardless what anybody wants to tell you. I got Vel on the line. I'm going to bring on my boy, Mac J, out of St. Louis. He's got a question for you. You there, Mac?
Yeah, what's good with it, man? What's going on with
it? Going, man?
First, I want to say it's UGS for life. Fuck them fags over there, Strange Music and shit. But one thing I wanted to ask you, man, was what was it like back in the day working with AMG, man? Because AMG was always one of my favorite rappers back in the day, and I always wondered, man, like, what was it like working with him back in the heyday when the music was really popping like that?
Oh, man, Jason, back then, Jason was like a Jay-Z to me back then. I mean, Jason had the lyric. He was ahead of his time. He was ahead of his time. And when I met Jason, I met him through a guy named Rick Aaron, who was managing Jason at the time, and it was incredible, man. I mean, just sitting there, we did two songs, me and Jason. We did a song called The Liquor Industry, and we did a song called Drunk Bitches. And, we had fun doing that, man. You know, a lot of Hennessy, and, you know, we did put it together. It was a good move. I mean, I got to meet Quick and them, and, you know, in their camp and stuff like that. So, you know, working with Jason was an incredible thing, man.
Oh, yeah. See, I was listening to a couple of the jams the other day when I seen Prez was going to have you on the show, and my youngest son was asking me, was that old-time music? He didn't know nothing about it. We sitting there looking at the videos and stuff, but so he was getting the hype off of it, too, because he was calling it old-time music. But
the good thing about that is, you know, the new generation that's out now, they'll be able to hear Bell Bacardi in 2013. I'm doing my whole campaign 2013. I'm running a whole jackpot campaign. I'm going to drop a couple albums, a couple of documentaries, and, you know, as well as I got my son. He's going to be coming out on the label, too. He's burning hot, so we'll be talking about that later. But, you know, definitely, man, you know, Bell Bacardi's back on the stride. It's 2013, and the name of the album is called Cancer Retirement. So, you know, it's been a long time, so.
All right, well, out here in St. Louis, man, I'm going to be looking for it, man. I'm going to be pumping that shit, too, man. Like, when you latch on and prayers put you on, man, shit, we going to rock with you and ride with you, man, because we only pay homage to the real pioneers and the real cats out here still doing it. We ain't with none of that fun boy swaggy shit. So I just want to give you a shout-out, dog, because you is one of the real generals out of this shit. And if they don't know, you was the first original cat that, because I was in Chicago back in the day, and you was the only one from Kansas City we had ever heard, and I remember the videos. And
Yeah, he's right. That's right, man.
Appreciate that, man.
You know, but, Mac J, much love as always, brother. UGS for life, man. Appreciate it.
No doubt, baby. UGS for life.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's the underground society, what I was telling you about earlier, man. It's this movement we got going on, and you know what I'm saying? Fuck with us. We got you in several countries and, you know, all over the United States, man. So, yeah, but of course we got a lot of punk bitches that hate too, man. Just like we just put up the Dr. Kafar, Strange Psychopath, and all the comments on there is from these I don't even call them technicians, I call them dicticians, because they're a tech dick, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
But yeah, that's crazy, man. But now you're back. It's 2000. You're about to be 2013. You know what I'm saying? You sent me some heat. I'm gonna play in a minute, man. What's been your response so far from the new music you got?
Oh, man, you know, people are excited. People, when they hear my music, they're like, oh, okay, finally a voice of truth. Like, we ain't even heard one of those in a while, like Scarface and, you know, certain guys that come out and just spit it bluntly. You know, they haven't heard that, like Ice Cube. It's been a while since you heard, like, us kind of guys that speak bluntly. The music game is so saturated with a lot of cotton candy and Cracker Jacks and popcorn. You know, when it used to be a day when it was about standing tall, standing firm, grabbing your nuts, and telling it like it is.
Yeah.
You know, it went from you know, MCs used to grab their nuts on stage. You know what I'm saying? Now these guys are grabbing the side of their pants. You know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Now these guys are showing their draws. You never seen Run DMC's draws. You never seen Ice Cube's draws. You never seen Eazy-E's draws. You never seen Scarface's draws. You see these young cats' draws because they don't know no better, because the industry's trying to saturate the game with softness. Because the hardness was uplifting the mind state of the people, and they knew that, and they didn't want the mind state of the people to be lifted, because if the people's mind state get lifted, then people will want more awareness, so they didn't want that, so they had to dumb it down. So they start finding just the most stupidest song they could find, and they would sign it. So they kept doing that, and they made that repetitious to where now all the geniuses think they got to do something stupid just to get signed.
And I want to commend you, my brother, because we've had some legends here on the show, and they would dance around the, you know, I bring up that shit, right? You know, the swagger shit, the skinny jeans, and, well, yeah, they're young, and, you know, when I was young, my old folks told me not to do that, and, nah, fuck that. That right there is submission. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
can't submit to what this industry is doing. And I'm glad you pointed that out, man. You fit this movement perfectly, because we said fuck the Illuminati, man. Fuck this corporation.
Right, right.
You know, that's what it is. It's a big corporation, and it's brainwashing our youth, turning them into little sissies. It's even making motherfuckers' nuts fall off. They got this condition
right.
skinny jeans called twisted testicles. And that's real shit, people.
Right.
Look it up. Google it. Twisted testicles. These motherfuckers going to the doctor, getting their nut cords unfucking tangled and shit. This ain't no joke,
right,
man.
Right.
Making little girls out of boys.
Just like I was telling you about my son, Vegas Vuitton, like him. Like his whole style, his whole direction is a young man with a grown man's conversation. It's like... He's stirring away from that. He's got that young swag, of course, but he's also he understands that, you know, that's just a fad, and that's just only going to be here for so long. See, for most listeners that don't understand the phases that hip hop has went through, I can explain it to you right now. The first phase that hip hop went through was the MC. The MC was the first stage of it, where people would go into clubs and they would grab the mic, and then they would keep the crowd hype, as far as like saying ho and what's your name, what's your sign. That was the first elevation of hip hop. And then after that, it went from say ho to the party to the MC and the DJ. And
yeah.
then the DJ got involved, because the MC started whispering in the DJ's ear saying, hey man, play this one and play that one. And then the DJ and the MC got involved. That's when it became the MC and the DJ. From there, the breakdancers were breakdancing at the same time that hip-hop was moving, and they was getting noticed just as much as the DJs and the MCs were getting noticed, so they said, let's put it together. So then it went to MCs to the DJ and the dancer. Once the MC and the DJ and the dancer got together, then they said, hey, we can do this on a stage. And then there you go. They started making shows. They started doing it in the neighborhood. They started doing it in places. They put the whole format together. And then when the corporate America, when the industry saw that, they said, what is that they're doing, that everybody is crowded around? And it has nothing to do with the culture of music that we already got in the forefront. What is that? And somebody said, hey, that's just something that they're doing that they call rapping, where they talk about their problems and they're talking about their life, because
yeah.
the first raps that were ever rapped out of somebody's mouth was about their real life and their real problems.
Yeah,
you
it was
know,
about the shit that people
rap,
were
rap,
going through, not this fucking
right,
bullshit
rap
that's
was,
going on now.
Rap was never meant to go that direction. See, those guys had money too, but they didn't rap about it, because that money wasn't the issue. The message was the issue. Now, in today's time, the MC thinks the money is the issue over the message. So they give you a bullshit ass message for your money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because all of cause, you know, cause now they're thinking that. So once hip hop had the DJ, the MC, the dancers, then the corporate. And then once they did that, they said, you know what we're going to do now? We're going to go ahead and we're going to put it on vinyl. And said, okay. And then they went from vinyl. And then once they said to put it on vinyl, then the DJs was able to scratch it. Then they said, okay, we'll send it around the world. And then hip-hop became a movement. And once hip-hop became a movement, they still couldn't control it because there was no way to depict how they were selling or how well they were doing. So that's when they decided to put the barcode inside of the music business because they wanted to do it just like they do mustard and ketchup and everything else. They wanted to keep a number on it. They wanted to market because it was starting to be a fascination across the globe. So once they put the barcode in it, then that was when they was able to decipher what should be sold and what couldn't be sold because they knew how much was going in and they knew how much was coming out because they put the barcode in there. Soon as the barcode got in the music industry, that's when the music changed itself because they started deciding what's going to be out there because since they was going to number it and market like they do cattle, then they was going to feed it like cattle and they was going to breed it like cattle and they was going to only let certain cattle in like they do cattle to mess with all the cattle. Every bull ain't picked. They pick a certain bull to let him go and fuck all the cows.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same situation. So what they did was now the barcode is there and they said, okay, we want to control this. How do we control it? We take it from its natural existence. We take away the DJ. We take away the dances, we take away the MCing all together, and we just get them up there and let them rhyme something, and we'll put jewelry on them like they had, and we'll make them, if you want to, stretch your pants down. Yeah, they like that style. Take your pants down a little more. Yeah, they like that. Humiliating. They're humiliating the real MCs with these dudes. That's what the MC, the industry is mocking real talented MCs with these clowns that's out today. They're trying to show us that they're in control because the guys like me and Scarface and all of us that really got something to say right now, they won't let us speak. You know, they're not going to let me and Scarface come out over chicken noodle soup or, you know, these guys that, you know, classify names that everybody know who they are. I mean, just listen to the music business. When's the last time you heard some real shit?
Yeah, you summed it all up, man. What we've been screaming over here, UGS, you fucking summed it up, man. And again, I commend you, man. I'm glad you're coming back because you're fucking needed. You need to be on the front lines, man, with us. You know what I'm saying? Fighting this shit. You know,
no doubt, it's
going to take motherfuckers like you and our brother JT Money, our brother Al Capone. It's going to take motherfuckers like you who are veterans to really help us get this shit back where it needs to be. And man, I'm fucking happy, man. This is a victory for everybody that's down with UGS, everybody listening right now. Having this brother on the team is a fucking victory against the lame stream. That's what we call it, the lame stream. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what
it's
become. You know what I mean?
And that's what Young Vegas is to me, to the mainstream. He's like my missile at them. Like he's going to be their age but be doing what they should be doing. And he's going to have the beats that's needed, it's like fishing. He's going to have the right beats that's needed, but he's going to have the right message and everything. You know, Vegas is incredible, man. I mean, you know, I keep talking about it because I want people to know that he's coming soon. Vegas is coming soon, 2013.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bell, you got him with you, right?
Yeah. Hey, matter of fact, hey, Vegas.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Vegas?
How you doing, brother?
Man, very good, very good. My name's Perez, man, and, you know, I've known your pops for a little bit, and, you know what I'm saying, for a few years. It's been a minute since I talked to him, but I'm glad that he's coming back, but I'm also glad to find out you're coming back, man. Man, how can you describe your style?
I can say 90% my father, man. I got a lot of him in me, man. We both Aquariuses, man. I'm more of a conscious type person, man. So we connect like that, man. I got like more of a conscious rap, but more of a new feel to it. You feel me? Because I can change it up in any type of way. My style is just changes in every type of way. You give me the beat, I'll put the message on it. You know what I mean? That's just how my style is. It's not no, can't just pinpoint Vegas style. You can't just say Vegas is this way. You know, I might do something different the next day. It's just how it is.
And growing up, you know what I'm saying, I mean, your dad, you know, I mean, he put KC on the map. This guy's a legend, you know what I'm saying. True rap fans know this guy. What was it like having him as a mentor, so to speak, as a teacher?
It was normal. It was just like a father should be there, you know. It's like, teaching me the right way to do it, not the wrong way, you know, not just rapping about things I don't got, you know what I'm saying, really expressing myself through it. It became my diary, you feel me? That's just, like, I can't express myself, this is how I express myself through my music, like, just following his footsteps, man, being around him. He just influenced me to be more, like, more thinking instead of just action, just doing it, you know. He's a smart person, you feel me? Just being around him, he really helped me out a lot as far as being a wise person instead of being ignorant.
And he's right, man. We're going to need young cats like you to get into this game and really change shit back to the way it should be. Because, you know, you got Lil B running around. You got Soulja Boy running around. They're talking about nothing. Nothing that kids could relate to. So I'm glad to see, man, that you're coming out. When can we expect some music from you?
Man, definitely soon, man. I'm just working on a little project right now with my father, man, getting it together for him next year. You know, I should be dropping something soon for him, man, giving him a taste of what I'm going to be working on and everything.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You come from the bloodline right there, man. You know, you're welcome here at Murder Master Music Show and Underground Society. So it's good to have you and your pops on board, man. So much respect to you, my brother.
Yeah,
thanks. I appreciate that a lot right there.
Hey, no problem, man. You know, I mean, we're good people over here. We try to do what's right. We try to educate the youth. And we try to push a positive message, even if it's sometimes in a negative, aggressive way. That's how you got to go at these people. You got to ball up your fist, and you got to meet them at the front line and smash their face in. And that's what we're gonna do. So it's good to have you guys on board, man, for sure.
No doubt. We appreciate being on board. And you know, Jackpot Entertainment, we're going to make a lot of noise this year. Vegas Futon is the first album coming out on Jackpot Entertainment. That's my label. He's coming out 2013, the beginning of 2013, and we will go through every channel of Murder Mash for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely, Prez, you're going to be one of the first ones to drop it exclusively. So when Vegas' album is done, you will be one of the first ones dropping that single.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I couldn't get the Vegas song tonight, but I want to play, man. Which one do you want to hear? Do you want to hear True Gritter, or do you
want to
hear
which one you want your listeners to listen to? That's the one I think they should listen to.
That's what's up.
Good.
All right. Introduce True Gritter for me.
All right, y'all. This is Velva Carti, a.k.a. DRV, Jackpot Entertainment, and you're about to listen to my song True Gritter right here, live, exclusive, pioneer legend shit, right?
Here we go.
I'm a true gritter. I'm a true grinder. I'm a true go-getter. I'm a true shiner. I'ma stay pressed up. I'ma stay paid. I'ma stay on top of things. Success is my trade. I'm a true gritter. I'm a true grinder. I'm a true go-getter. I'm a true shiner. I'ma stay pressed up. I'ma stay paid. I'ma stay on top of things. Success is my trade. Fell easy, I'm far from measly. I take the average hustle stuff and make it look easy. Ambassador getting money, sort of like a holiday. Another David Rockefeller, right here in the Chubby State. A millionaire, connected to billionaires. Trillionaires, talk about me to zillionaires. Stocking and share, invested, COVID ranking. On the scale of 1 to 65, I'm top ranking. Thanks to Rick Rubin, my name rings to every city. I'm an industry commodity like stupid 50. I'm expecting my top cast in high places. Back and forth across the globe, closing deals in foreign races. I got this game wrapped up like an anaconda. I'm only in it for the change like Barack Obama. Overseeing large amounts of my potential. So if I fall, I bounce right back up my credentials. I'm a true gritter. I'm a true grinder. I'm a true go-getter. I'm a true trainer. I'ma stay pressed up. I'ma stay paid. I'ma stay on top of things. Success is my trade. I'm a true gritter. I'm a true grinder. I'm a true go-getter. I'm a true trainer. I'ma stay pressed up. I'ma stay paid. I'ma stay on top of things. Success is my trade.
Yeah.
I bleed the block like Crooked Cooper. Catching it in snares, I write it down, is what I do in words. I collect profit off my topic.
Dakota to West Virginia. Cook the world to the streets, I'm known as a winner. And I make my own beats like Dre and Eminem. Come with nothing but heat, diamonds, jewels, and gems. I'm connected with big timers across the country. The Holy Temple Bandit is worth money. Like George Clinton and Quincy Jones. I put my heart and my soul in it when I write a song. And Bill ain't gotta say it, you already know. That it's sing, sing wherever I go.
I'm a true critter, I'm a true grinder. I'm a true go-getter, I'm a true trainer. I'ma stay pressed up, I'ma stay paid. I'ma stay on top of things, success is my trade. I'm a true critter, I'm a true grinder. I'm a true go-getter, I'm a true trainer. I'ma stay pressed up, I'ma stay paid. I'ma stay on top of things, success is my trade.
Bill, man, that song is fucking hard as fuck, dude. That shit, it's aggressive. You know, you listen to songs like Fantasy, you know, that's laid back, you know, got that Bay Area knock to it. But then you listen to that song right there, that's got some fucking, you know, Onyx or some shit. You know what I'm saying? That's some hardcore shit.
That's that hip hop. That's that authentic. I'm coming to get you. Like when that beat and everything that I was trying to establish with my lyrics in that song was in so many words telling these artists, I'm coming to get you. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm loved on the streets. I'm loved in the corporate world. There's nothing you can do. I'm coming. You know, that's what True Gritter is about. Like, my success is my trade, not everything else, success. And that's what we're coming to do. And that's why me and Vegas are glad to be a part of you guys' movement, because it's time for the movement that we're on to finally reach this point of success, in which when we slay down all the fake,
yeah,
and we're gonna make this nation grow. We're gonna grow. I'm part of it. We're gonna make it grow. We're gonna make it grow through our movement and other movements, because we got to get the fake out.
Yeah, we got to. You know what I'm saying? We got, you know, through you, we got Kansas City. You know, we got Chicago. We got Memphis. We got Miami. You know what I'm saying? We got fucking Brazil. We got fucking Czechoslovakia. I mean, the list goes on and on. The Bay Area. It's incredible what we got. And once we rise to power, there ain't going to be no stopping none of us. You know what I'm saying? So
right. It's
good to see that we're clicking up like this. But they will prevent. They will try to prevent. They have. You know what I'm saying? They have already these fake-ass websites and blogs and fake-ass magazines. They do whatever they can to prevent us from getting from point A to point B. But, you know, we're not going to stop until we get where we got to get. So, but, hey, I just want to tell you, brother, man, it's such a fucking honor. And it's been a minute, man. We used to chop it up. I remember you was telling me about the videos. You were doing the videos back in Kansas City. And talk about that, man. Tell me about that before you go, about how you brought the videos to Kansas City.
Well, I did a video show called Bellevue Television. And at this time, the Kansas City rap artists in the town didn't have money for BET or didn't have money to get BET exposure. So what I did was, since I took my brother Demetrius, he's an architect, he shot my first two videos actually when I was a kid. I had he shot my Busta Move video, and he shot a video for me called She Was an Alkie. And this was a time when they didn't even have computer to help. So I just kind of took from my brother's game, and I started going around testing it on this one guy named Young Kev, Young Kev is a young rapper who was going to be real major from the Kansas City scene, but he had got into something tragic. But I started
I remember Young Kev. Man, I reviewed one of his albums, man.
Yeah, yeah. Young Kev was the first video I shot. Once I shot Young Kev's video, I shot Court Dog's video. Once I shot Court Dog's video, I shot S to the B's video. Once I shot S to the B's video, I shot High Performance video. Once I shot High Performance video, I did a Gates and Sons commercial. And it kept going. So I had so much stuff, I created this thing called Bellevue Television. And I put it all together, and Kansas City gave me 5 popcorn bags. Now, what they mean by popcorn bags is just like on the magazine when they say stars or whatever like that. Well, they gave me that on the Channel 5 News, Channel 4 News, I'm sorry, Channel 4 News. They gave me acknowledgement for that, for opening it up for the city. But see, people don't know nothing about that because I am to be shunned. You know, in order for them to exist, I have to be completely shunned. So
yeah.
it's almost like how Satan does God, or how Satan does, how Lucifer does God and how Satan does Jesus. You know, it's kind of like the same thing, you know, how I got to shun you out in order for me to shine. So, you know, in the Bible it says, you know, I have many mansions. That's what God said. Okay, so Satan said, okay, well, I just put them all down here now. Now everybody's able to get a mansion. Now they ain't going to be looking for you up there. The same thing. You know, we'll push Bell to the side, and then next thing you know, ain't nobody going to be looking for you. And I'm going to be getting all the worthy props that you were supposed to be getting, Bell, because you are the gatekeeper and the holder of the hip-hop scene in Kansas City, Missouri. But somehow it got in Tech N9ne's hands, and people are agreeing with it because they're shunning and making sure that I'm not able to speak the story that I'm speaking right now.
All they got to do is listen to this fucking show, go to the archive, you know what I'm saying, go to UGSforLife.com, /UGS Radio, listen to the archive of this fucking show, and follow the facts. You know what I'm saying? I'm vouching for this man, too, because I heard of this cat in 95, 18 fucking years ago, and he was doing it in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? So learn your fucking history. All you so-called technicians out there that think he's God, that think, you know, you're doing your little pledge, learn your fucking history. Know the real deal about this guy. Like I said, he had me fooled, too. I mean, I knew you were before him, but, you know, I helped the motherfucker out on many occasions. I feel like a fucking idiot. You know, I've done that with a lot of cats, though, not just Tech N9ne and Strange Music. There's been a lot of people I helped over the years that I wish now I would have put a fucking ice pick in their brain, you know, rather than help them out,
right.
You know. But it is what
it is. It's what it is, and they shun the game. They did that. Now he got all these magazines and all these people thinking he's the king because they got their flashlight turned off on the actual king. But that's okay, because what we did was, now that we realize that, then we're going to go everywhere his fans are, and we're going to put this music, we're going to promote it and let them figure it out for themselves. Back when I came out with boom, 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 you know, that's what Tech got. Let's get fucked up. You know, but people don't know about that either, you know, because the guy that actually mixed my song, one of the twins that mixed it, he made the beat for Let's Get Fucked Up. My song Bump Bump was getting mixed, and then Tech and them came to the studio, and he played it for them, and they liked it, and they wanted a beat similar to mine, and that's where Let's Get Fucked Up was born, because of that producer that had my music in his possession. Bump Bump was a secret that I was about to hit people with, but I didn't know he was producing music for Donnie and them at the time, and they came in, heard Bump Bump, and before Bump Bump could the streets, they had Let's Get Fucked Up.
Yeah,
So when Bump Bump came out, everybody was saying that mine sound like his.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the whole drama, that's another part of the drama right there. You know,
yeah.
They was doing sneaky stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you what,
you know,
again, man. You know, I respect you and for coming out and really letting it be known, you know, what's going on and you know what I'm saying. These guys, you know, like I offered Travis come on the fucking show before, he wouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? These guys, if they didn't have anything to hide, they would, you know, they would be speaking about you. But clearly they're trying to sweep you under the rug, so like you said, so nobody can hear about you, but you're out here. So I'm glad you're back, man. I'm glad you're going full steam ahead with this movement, and we got your back over here, man. You already know that shit off top.
Thank you.
So you know. I got to get to some other things, but is there anything you want to say to the listeners before we go?
Yes. I want to definitely say that peace out to everybody that was listening, and be listening for Vel Bacardi to keep your ears tuned to the internet and keep your ears tuned to BET. Keep your ears tuned because Vel Bacardi will be unleashing Jackpot Entertainment 2013. The first album that's coming off of Jackpot Entertainment is Vegas Vuitton. And Vegas is going to shake the nation with this new album. We're going to change the game. We're going to start switching the clock right back now because it's time for it to go back, because the time been going forward the wrong way. So we got to turn time back and get it on the right track. So that's what we're going to do. So much love, y'all. Peace. And if Vegas, is there anything you want to say?
No, that sums it up.
Hey, it was an honor having you on the show too, Vegas, man. Much respect to you, brother. I know you're going to do a lot of big things, man, and we definitely got your back, and we look forward to hearing what you got coming out as well.
Well, thank you, man. I really appreciate the love, man. Just know, man, we coming.
Definitely. And Vel, before you go, one more question I have for you. If you were face to face with Tech right now, what would you tell that dude?
I would tell him, why have you been running from me?
Yeah.
That's real
shit. That's real shit. Well, you heard that, Tech. Travis, answer the man's question. Why have you been running? Thank you, Vel. Man, much love to you, brothers. Nothing but success your way, man.
Hey, man, thanks to you, man, and God bless you, man, and we will talk again.
Oh, definitely. We'll stay in touch.
Okay.
All right, everybody, you just heard Vel Bacardi, this is the pioneer of Kansas City rap. And you know I come from the Murder Dog. We fuck with Kansas City hard. We did a lot of features of Kansas City and somewhere along the line. All these rappers in Kansas City got wiped out, and the main focus seemed to be on one particular rapper and organization or a record label. And that ain't going to happen over here. We've already had Don Juan on tonight. We just had Vel Bacardi on. So shout out to Vel. Shout out to his son. I'm going to bring on the homie E-Dub real quick, man. Let's see if E-Dub's around. No, he's not around yet. If you can hear me, E-Dub, call in 714-409-0548. While I'm waiting on E-Dub to call in, I'm going to play the homie Trey Wood's song, Pump That. Trey Wood's the brother out of the Shy, man. This cat, man, he sent me all kinds of music, so I'm going to have plenty of music from Trey Wood. He's also going to be featured in UGS Magazine under, we're going to have a special report on the city of Chicago. Got some real motherfuckers in there. So be looking out for that shit soon. This is Trey Wood, Pump That, right here in the Murder Master Music Show.
And wrecking crew. Ransom. Crack.
I'm dirty money, usually I mean I ring around the hood cause I'm so unclean. I'm filthy, I'm nasty, I'ma stay on my grind. From here to the other side of the finish line. Y'all pussy motherfuckers got me misconstrued. Like I won't cop the coupe and make it do what it do. Like I won't cook the coke and make it move by move. Like I won't pop the toast and make a ghost out of you. I'll put that on 2 times 2 plus 1. I will walk right up on you and bust one. Straight to your face, take it straight, no chase. Me to get greasy like a Kia for a babe. Hit the licking splurge, hit the kitchen cook a bird. Just to get what I deserve. And then I post up on a curb, 2 blue steel 9s. Any motherfucker whispering about mine. And I'm wrecking crew's finest. Dirty money and diamonds keeps me grinding. Clutch stick shifting, drop top portion. If I do the dance, you would think I'm soaring.
I'm ransom.
The old days, catch them in the hallway, open the door, and then it's 2, 2, 3 or something.
pray. Fuck up his ways of braid. Looking for a nigga that sports the ball fade. Your mom told you always to look both ways. No more eating steak trays. I rob the gays and shoot them in gangways. And yeah, that be me. 10 years DOC. Fast IUE. And I'm still on the street. I can spin through any block, hood, rich or not. And fly the deuces out of my honey bee drop. With the mustard block, strapped with a 30 shot. Yeah, we got a see through top. Then I've been through the can, Shaw. My Francis Watt. Even bust a few shots out a few dirty cops. For trying to get over, trying to sell a free rock. I'm a pump every day where my enemies stay, nigga.
I'm dirty money, literally, I mean, I leave a ring around the hood cause I'm so unclean. I'm filthy, I'm nasty, I'ma stay on my grind. From here to the other side of the finish line.
I'm red, some literally, I mean, I leave a ring around the hood cause I'm so unclean. I'm filthy, I'm nasty, I'ma stay on my grind. From here to the other side of the finish line.
I'm getting money.
I just listened to the show with Vail, and like y'all talking about people just lying and bullshitting all the time, and you know, my thoughts one day were just like, you know, fuck them all. I'm about to do a song, you know, where I just tell them how I feel about them. I got my dude LZ from Detroit, my dude Legacy from Tennessee, and we just hopped on this beat that I found. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it's not an original beat. I found it on SoundClick, but we hopped on this beat and just pretty much told everybody that's out there lying and faking, trying to be Lil Wayne instead of being real, you know, fuck you. We're going to do our way, and it's going to work out better for us anyway.
I respect that. I respect that. And I also respect the fact that, you know, you mix it up. You got Detroit, you got Tennessee, you got Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it should be. Too many motherfuckers think outside the don't think outside the box. So that's what's up, man. Now, is this coming out on a project? You got a mixtape or anything dropping? Or?
Yeah, I actually I have something I do every year about New Year's Eve or the first of the year. I have a On the Come Up Volume 3 coming out. This is the third edition of my On the Come Up series. It's going to come out, I'm thinking, probably December 30th. That way everybody has it New Year's Eve to bump all night and listen to it all night long. And I'm just working on that right now. I'm working on a few other projects, and I'm actually on a project that I worked with some people out of Nashville, and they call it Chess Moves Nationwide, and Volume 2 is coming out, and they have Lil White on there and Bubba Sparks, and I think they said Haystack's going to be on Volume 2. He was on Volume 1.
Oh, you got all the crackers on there. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. Okay. Well, this song right here, you basically, man, if you want, just introduce it. Oh, but before you do, if cats want to get at you, where could they get at you for as far as, you know, features or just to hear your music?
You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/edub270. Any website /edub270. You can go to SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, and YouTube. You can go watch my video or listen to my music at youtube.com/mostlypapertv. And this song that y'all about to hear right now is called Fuck 'Em All with LZ and Legacy, and I hope y'all are feeling it. It's a banger.
Hey, hey, thanks again for the support. Thanks for coming on the show, man, and you'll keep sending me this hot shit.
I will, man. I appreciate you having me.
No problem, brother. Thank you.
All right.
Man, I came up from the bottom, made it all from nothing. And these bitches out here frontin' wasn't here when I was struggling. Fuck 'em all. Hey, can y'all hear what I say? Fuck 'em all. I know y'all feeling this way. I got these haters to my left, I got these bitches to my right. I guess I'll have to tell them all it's gonna be a long night. Fuck 'em all. I know y'all hear what I say. Fuck you all. And I don't give a fuck what you say.
Your ruler ends. They say I'm sold off. Boy, my head was never level. I'm out here in these streets putting on for every rebel. Ask about me, I be pumping like my name Vinny. It's in my bloodline. Been here since the game
and Vinny. Man, I came up from the bottom. Made it all from nothing. And these bitches out here fronting wasn't here when I was struggling. Fuck 'em all. Hey, can y'all hear what I say? Fuck 'em all. I know y'all feeling this way. I got these.
Yeah, we're back once again in the Murder Master Music Show. One hell of a fucking show. This has got to go down in history as far as you know, I'm concerned, because a lot of shit was told tonight, a lot of shit that like I said, was swept under the rug for many fucking years. And, you know, when you try to hold back somebody, try to hold back their career, try to block them, you heard what he said about Travis. He accused Travis of paying Murder Dog Magazine $2,000 not to put the song on the compilation. That is some wild shit right there. You know what I'm saying? That is definitely some wild shit. So it's crazy. As time goes on, we hear more and more shit about Strange Music. And if you haven't heard, go to YouTube right now and type in Dr. Kafar. It's Dr. period Kafar. Strange Psychopath. Listen to that motherfucking song. I played at the beginning of the show. That dude talking about cutting Tech's chest and burning his areola and fucking mixing his caribou with fucking Ebola. I mean, that's the craziest shit right there. And also, there's a link right under the video to the CD Baby. Buy that motherfucker. 99 cents. But before we go any further, October 31st, me and my brother Six, man, we've been busting our fucking asses getting new content, man. We got contributors, the homie Mac J. We got JC Barba, Adam Thick, Swoop, the BG. Who else, man? There's so many. If I forget anybody, please forgive me. But there's so many people helping. But we've been busting our asses to bring you the most original fucking magazine of its kind. I mean, it's like a combination of the old Murder Dog, fucking Feds, fucking mixed with Jesse Ventura, a.k.a. fucking Benjamin Franklin's True TV conspiracy theory, mixed with fucking Ring Magazine. Because I tell you what, right now, I'm looking at my wall of a 1948 fucking original copy of Ring Magazine with Jake LaMotta, the Bronx Bull, on the cover of that motherfucker. And guess what? He's in the magazine. Ron Jeremy in the fucking magazine. I had to go to the archives to get that shit, man. That Ron Jeremy interview, I had to chase that for over a year. You know what I'm saying? It took me a year and several phone calls to Ron Jeremy every time I got that motherfucker on the line. Scott, I promise next week I'll give you a whole hour for the interview. And I finally caught that motherfucker at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., whatever it was. I got 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes, but nonetheless, I got some good shit out of him. You know, talking about the porn industry and whatnot, talking about fucking Vanessa Del Rio, talking about sticking it to Nina Hartley, talking about, you know, knowing John Holmes, you know what I'm saying? So it's some crazy shit, man. This magazine is unlike anything else you've ever seen. And the layout, man, props to my brother Six. That motherfucker went in on the layout, man. Wait till y'all see this shit. You've seen the cover. Go to ugsforlife.com/UGS magazine. Look at the fucking cover. Check that shit out. But, man, when you see the content, my God. You know what I'm saying? And the Dr. Kafar, the Strange Psychopath, is on the cover. So you guys are in for a treat with that motherfucker. I'm going to tell you what. Listen to that song, Strange Psychopath. All you fucking fuckalos and you dicticians, you fucking faggot face painting motherfuckers, and you stupid ass motherfuckers singing the Pledge of Allegiance to an idiot and his fucking label ran by a fucking little leprechaun. Fuck that shit. Dr. Kafar is the cure for that illness and that disease. You know what I'm saying? And not just those weirdos. We're going after the little bees. We're going after the soldier boys. We're going after all the swaggots in the games, the Krayshawns, these motherfucking rappers at one time who were fucking G's in the game and became fucking lames. We're going at them too. This is all our war against the lamestream. War. You know what I'm saying? And anybody that's a part of UGS, you better fucking understand what we're about. This ain't no fucking shit that you could just say, oh, yeah, I'm affiliated with blah, blah, blah. No, when we call you to go to war, you go to fucking war. That's the way it is, bottom fucking line. And if you can't get with that, get the fuck out right now, because we don't need you. We don't fucking need you. I don't want to hear no shit. Well, I'm not getting involved, blah, blah, blah. Anybody fucks with us, you know what I'm saying, and you ain't ready to go into battle, get the fuck out. Fuck you. Eat a dick. You know what I'm saying? We constantly dropping motherfuckers, but we're gaining real motherfuckers. I want to shout out a few people course, like I said, Brother Six, you know what I'm saying, the Bad Black, you know what I'm saying, the homie Mac J, Handilla, definitely got a shout out my brother Handilla. You hear him every fucking show. He did the intro, much love to him. Trey Wood, Little Menace, all my people in Chicago, the Mercenaries, Bad Black, man, everybody down with the magazine. I'm just going on and on and on, but, you know, I'm going to get out of here early. I got to go get some fucking herb. Fuck this shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to play a few more songs, get the fuck out of here. But, man, thanks for enjoying the show and supporting it. Appreciate it. Share this link after this because this is going to be one of them shows that all these dicticians and all these fuckalos, they're going to be hating on this show. So support this shit. And remember, fucking Saturday, 7 p.m. West Coast, 9 p.m. Central, KFYB. Fuck you, bitch. Velvet Rose 6 and Mac J. They're going to talk about some crazy shit. Sunday, Church Reality. We got a hell of a show. It's about, man, it's about fucking the child sex trade. We actually got a woman that's going to call in live who has helped rescue children out of slavery rings. Man, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss that shit. You don't want to miss Saturday and Sunday. You know, you get a break on Friday. Saturday and Sunday, man, we hit you with some fucking some crazy shit on Saturday, and then you can go to church on Sunday and repent for all your fucking sins. So check this shit out.
The fuck have y'all been doing these past few Saturdays, man, around 7 p.m.? Don't answer that. Let me guess. You loser-ass motherfuckers that haven't been doing shit. And your plans, man, let's be honest about ourselves, man. Your plans probably ain't gonna be changing in the near foreseeable future. So why don't you spend your Saturdays kicking with me and my constituents, man, on KFYB, only on UGS Radio. We're doing it live so you can call in, share your opinion, your complaints, and I'll tell you that you ain't shit. And their music, man, we do that shit on Wednesdays, every fucking genre you want. So kick it with me, man. KFYB, UGS Radio.
Yeah.
fly. The rest of them are under me, beneath me like the curves eye. Kneel down and shoot craps on, letting birds fly. Leaving my rivalry scorns up, they curse my name when they speak and be warned. It's not the first time.
Had to repeat it before my preach on it.
Work my
magic till they finally got on it.
They must have searched my
credentials on belly. No rookie
knew what they serve my
respect for the time that it took me.
Plus I'm the serve my. Didn't let them fuck me or push me or let them hurt my pillars down. Play my emotions, they couldn't twerk my progression, oppression, obsession. This from the work I put in since I fell from the heavens. This is the earth dies.
I ain't been out here doing nothing. I've been putting my work in. Don't want nobody man handing me shit. I'ma earn it all in the end. Oh yes, I've been working hard. It's my time now. I got the ball. Never caught a nigga for a B. I'ma tell you it ain't over B. You know I'm a genius.
Boy up in this bitch, yo. Got my motherfucking nigga Eshawn ready to kick this shit for you, pop.
Walking on the flat line, stumbling with the razor blade, fumbling with the ancient faders, where the wicked rhymes are made. Sometimes I really feel like I just can't deal with the pressures of life, so I walk around with the bloody butcher knife. Therapy, man, I need some therapy, cause ain't nobody scaring me. I ain't got no love, cause no one cares for me. Slipping it into darkness, I'm beyond that and past that. Once I catch a flashback, snapping at your ass, black devil, get a shovel, grave digger. How you figure you gon' kill a dead nigga? You gon' kill a dead nigga, bloody body, baby, bloody man, I'm nutty, 184. And I never got caught. Walk the flat lines, man, I walk the flat lines. And dead body talk lines make me walk lines. I don't sniff lines, 45 slugs to my mind. Sometimes I feel I'm on the flat line, man, I need some therapy.
Fuck, nigga, off, fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about
I'm having suicidal thoughts, brain cells dead from the coma, my aroma dead, body rotten, gone but not forgotten, seems like you forgot, man I took one shot, now I lay me down to sleep, body hot, rock, got no love when I was a toddler, now I swallow bullets for fun, playing games with the gun, hope I spit up, get up, throw up, mind blow up, I told my teacher I want to be like Hitler when I grow up, now I got a mental block, got the pussy hammer cock, tick tock, and you don't stop, make the pussy pop, to the break of dawn, to the break of dawn, once again it's on, 357 chrome plated to my dome. Now I know you wanna know about